Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, July the 2nd, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me will be Pastor Mark Smith in helping us look at the hymn, O Christ, our true and only light. This was written in the midst of the 30 Years' War. And the song directs the anger and the singer away from destruction, devastation, and disruption of peaceful daily life in the realm of faith and hope because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Johann Hermann, who died in 1647, used the hymn as a prayer by the Jesuit Peter Michaelis. It was for unbelievers and those who have gone astray. O Lord Jesus Christ, the hymn reads, true light of this world, enlighten the darkness of all people, all Jews and heathen who do not know you, and also of Christians who go from your church into all kinds of sects and errors. How touchingly Hermann in this hymn prays for the enemies of the church, for the weak, and for the faint-hearted. He does not desire the destruction of his enemies, but their repentance, and above all, their salvation. The English version is a reworking of the translation by our favorite translator, Catherine Winkworth. So we're going to take a look at this hymn now. O Christ, our true and only light. All right, Pastor Smith, what's your initial response to this hymn?
It's a good hymn. It's a strong mission emphasis, as you have said. In fact, each one of the stanzas deals with a little bit different type of target, a mission target, if you will. So it's a good hymn. It's very singable, and of course, Catherine Winkworth, she's our favorite translator. God bless her. She's translated so many fine hymns.
Yes. When we talk about this hymn, what is the title at the top of the page?
The superscript, Mission and Witness. And it is indeed that, Mission and Witness.
It certainly does not ask for the destruction of unbelievers, but for their repentance.
That's right. You bet.
So why don't you start with stanza one, please?
O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice.
So, O Christ, that's also the word in the Greek for the Hebrew word Messiah.
Right.
So he's our true and only light.
Only light. Yeah, you know, it hits home for me because our motto at Valparaiso University, from which I graduated, was in thy light we see light. And then when I got to Concordia Seminary, you know what the motto there was, the light from above. And so both of those institutions cast light on me, the light of Christ.
Now, if it's the only light, that means there are other lights.
Yeah, right. But it's his light is really our only light, our only saving light, if you will.
Well said. Well said. Another light would be what the world thinks is the light, namely
right.
their good works.
Right. That, or the light that we receive from the stars and the planets.
Yes. And there's a lot of religions that worship the creation
right.
rather than Jesus.
This first stanza, I think, deals clearly with it's a mission, strong mission emphasis. Enlighten those who sit in night. We're talking about people that have no knowledge of the gospel whatsoever. You know, they're living in darkness. They've perhaps never heard the name of Jesus and his salvation. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice.
Reminds us of the exaltation.
The exaltation.
When Jesus ascended into heaven,
yes.
What did God the Father say in the presence of the disciples?
Are you talking about his transfiguration?
Yes, that's true.
His transfiguration. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Listen to him."
And that's what this hymn says.
Right.
So this is really important that a pastor does not preach what he thinks is important. He preaches what Jesus said is important. That's how we hear his voice.
Correct.
And where do we hear his voice?
We hear his voice in the Word.
Exactly. And of course, that's what's so important about Christian worship. Is his voice heard in the liturgy?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In the liturgy leading up to the sacrament, in the order of baptism, in the absolution.
And what's the absolution?
That's the declaring of the forgiveness of sins. We confess our sins. This is at the outset of the service. We confess our sins, and the pastor assures us of the forgiveness God graciously gives us already in our baptism.
Yes. Upon this, your
confession.
By virtue of my office.
Right.
And your sins are forgiven. So that's the word of Christ.
Right.
And hearing that word initiates faith. And where is that gift of faith from?
It's from God the Holy Spirit. We would not be able to believe without his help.
Exactly. It's not something we decide by our free will.
No, we didn't choose him. We didn't choose him. He's chosen us in Christ.
Exactly. Well, let me do stanza two. Fill with the radiance of your grace the souls now lost in error's maze. Enlighten those whose in your minds some dark delusion haunts and blinds. Now, this verse uses a metaphor, Heir's maze.
Right.
What does that remind you of?
Well, this, again, this is a mission hymn, and this is a reaching out to those that are lost in some error, some aspect of error, and that they need enlightening. Those whose inmost minds some dark delusion haunts and blinds. So it's a mission emphasis for those that are lost in error and confusion, and they've been led astray from the pure gospel.
The metaphor maze.
Right.
What's that used today?
Well, a maze is a you know, in the fall, a lot of times we'll take the kids out to these corn mazes.
Yes.
They'll have fun wandering through these pathways that have been cut in a cornfield. And it takes some patience to follow the right path and to lead where you want to finally go. And so, error is a maze like that, too. We can really get led astray in error.
Yes, we follow the path that we think is more important than God's path.
Right.
And that path is thinking that by our good works, we're saved. This is a great law and gospel hymn to show that Christ is the true and only light and is the proper path. And therefore, in our minds, some dark delusion haunts and blinds. What is that dark delusion?
Well, there are all sorts of dark delusions. There's the person who believes that evolution is the answer, for instance. The theory of evolution, or there's humanism, the idea that we can conquer all.
Yes,
we ourselves. That's a delusion. What are some other delusions that we have to deal with today, Tom?
Well, I would say like communism.
Okay, good, right.
This whole idea that the difference between people is the difference between those who are victims and those who make people victims. And that, of course, is totally false teaching. All right, stanza 3, please.
Oh, gently call those gone astray, that they may find the saving way. Let every conscience sore oppressed in you find peace and heavenly rest. Now, this stanza deals with another type of mission target, and that's the person that is, they've gone astray, and their conscience is being bothered. They're really bothered by this delusion or this error, and it casts doubt on them, and they don't have any comfort in their life. And the only comfort that will really give them the comfort they need is the gospel.
Yes, the phraseology, that they may find the saving way, seems to give the impression that they find it rather than it is a gift from God. What Bible verse would you use to show that finding the saving way is really a gift from God?
Okay, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the idea being that we want to stay in God's word, and really, it's we read God's word, we study it, we hear it, but it's God that's doing all the work, really. We haven't chosen Him, but we can in order to stay strong in the faith, we want to continue to read and study and take comfort in His holy word and in the sacraments, of course.
Jesus has a parable. We refer to it as the lost sheep.
Yes.
In that parable, who finds who?
The shepherd. The shepherd leaves the 99, the other part of his flock, and he goes out looking for that lost sheep. You know, I'm told that sheep have a hard time of retracing their steps. They can't on their own find their way back to the fold. And so the shepherd has to go out in the parable. That's Luke 15 or Luke 16. 15. He goes out and he picks up that sheep. It's an adult sheep. It's not just a little lamb. It's an adult sheep. He picks them up, hoists them up, puts them on his shoulders. He's probably riddled with thorns in his coat. And he lifts that sheep up, and he gladly carries him back to the fold. But the sheep has to be carried. He has to be brought back by the shepherd.
But would you agree with me that the sheep, if he was able to talk to other sheep, would say, I found my way home?
Oh, well, yeah. If he is being brought back, right.
And that's how they find the saving way, by Jesus carrying them
exactly.
On the way.
Yeah.
And so, how is a conscience sore oppressed?
Oh, by the devil whispering in our ears, so to speak, you're a miserable Christian. You're a terrible sinner. Do you think Jesus would have any part of you? He wants no part of you. You're a lost and condemned sinner, and there's no hope for you. That's a conscience who's really being plagued with his sin. And, of course, that's the devil that whispers in our ears, so to speak, and likes to cast doubt upon our salvation by showing us all of our dirty laundry of sins.
Well said. Well said. Stanza 4, please.
Shine on the darkened and the cold. Recall the wanderers to your fold. Unite all those who walk apart. Confirm the weak and doubting heart. Once again, this fourth stanza reaches out to those who are wandering away. They walk apart. Confirm the weak and doubting heart. Some people are plagued with doubt. Some people are plagued with false doctrine that undermines our faith. They walk apart from the truth. And this stanza asks that God would confirm the weak, strengthen them. Of course, that comes through the word. And strengthen the doubting heart. Melt
now
away
that
his
was
doubts.
That was occurring because of the 30 Years' War.
Yes.
What is happening today to lead people away from the church?
Oh boy! Well, I think right away of this wokeism that has infected our world, our way of thinking. You know, there are all sorts of false isms that we have to beware of and not lose our minds about. You know, even something like these people that put all the emphasis on climate change, as if God is not in control. You know, they act as if God is not around, that He's not. It's in God that all these things exist, He takes care of us. But these people act, they look at climate control, and of course it's a moneymaker for some people, and other people are just led to think, oh, it all depends upon us. What are we going to do to keep the climate in control? The planet's going to destroy itself if it doesn't depend upon us.
I enjoy watching YouTube movies, and there are a whole bunch of them where something is happening that the Earth could be destroyed. It could be effects of the sun, the loss of the ozone layer that encircles the Earth, maybe a meteor going to hit the Earth. And the movie is all about how the end of the Earth is happening. And I keep looking at those movies and saying to myself, no, Jesus said, nobody is going to know when the end of the world is going to occur.
That's right. It's not that we don't believe in stewardship of the environment. You know, we want clean water, we want clean air, we want to do what we can for the environment. But we shouldn't take the approach that these people, like I say, they act as if there's no God at all. There's no God watching out over us. There's no God, you know, in Him all things consist. He's the one that holds this universe, this whole universe together. And we should not lose sight of that and feel that it all depends upon us. That's baloney.
Yes, and thinking that no God exists, we talked about that recently. Everyone worships a God. It may not be Jesus Christ,
right?
But it is whatever they think created the world, made the world as it is, and continues it.
There are all sorts of false gods.
Exactly. Okay, stanza 5, please.
That they with us may evermore such grace with wandering thanks adore, and endless praise to you be given by all your church in earth and heaven. And this stanza reminds us, the prayer is that we'd all be brought together. That is, his church, the church here on earth, as well as the church triumphant in heaven.
Yes, we adore his grace. What is his grace?
Grace? Let's see, grace. That's getting what you don't deserve.
Exactly. And what is the gift that we get that we don't deserve?
We don't get his we don't get his judgment.
Well, that's mercy. What's the gift we get?
Oh, the gift that we get? That's justice. Oh, no, wait a minute. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve.
Which is what?
Oh, boy. Help me, Tom.
Well, what's our biggest problem?
Forgiveness. Oh, forgiveness of sins. Sin is our biggest problem. And so forgiveness of sins, we don't deserve that, but we get it freely.
Now, forgiveness doesn't come about by God giving us the ability never to sin.
No.
What is forgiveness?
Forgiveness is what Jesus won for us on the cross, his robe of righteousness. He has taken all our sins upon himself to the cross and has atoned completely for the sins of the whole world. And in exchange, he gives us, already in our baptism, his robe of righteousness, which covers all of our sins. So when he looks at us as our judge on the last day, he doesn't see a sinner. He sees a saint.
And that's because forgiveness means that God no longer holds us accountable for our sin.
Exactly.
Well, how could he do that? Who does he hold accountable?
Well, his own son.
Yes.
His own son went to the cross for us.
That's why he is our true and only light.
Right.
So we give thanks to God for the grace he has given us. That grace is mentioned a number of times in the liturgy, in the hymns, in the readings, in the sermon, and in the great two sacraments. And what are those two sacraments?
Baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Yes. What do we receive in the Lord's Supper that we don't deserve?
The very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in with and under the consecrated bread and wine. We get his true body and blood for forgiveness of sins.
Exactly. And so that is where we have confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor Smith, thank you so much for helping us with the hymn, O Christ, our true and only light, as a mission hymn to reach out to those who remain in the darkness of unbelief. Join us tomorrow for a continued study on the distinctions between law and gospel. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.